This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Healthcare costs are rising across the country as baby boomers enter their golden years. The state's prison population is also aging, and that means a bigger tax on the prison medical system. Since 1997, medical costs for prisoners have more than tripled. This year's budget for healthcare behind bars is $235 million. The increased expense has some policymakers asking, should elderly inmates be set free? Triangle Business Journal reporter Jason DeBruin looked into these issues for his report, Unhealthy Dose. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me on. This was a really interesting story to report.
It is an interesting story indeed. A few of the reasons, a number of reasons for rising costs, but give us the outline. What's going on?
Yeah, so you sort of hit the nail on the head. And look, right off the top, we should say, obviously, healthcare costs are increasing no matter where you are. That's, of course, probably reason number one. But one of the reasons for that, of course, is just simply the aging population, and we have that happening in our prison system. The date you referenced back in the late 90s, there were probably right around 1,000 inmates that were in their 50s or older. By now, that's grown to nearly 7,000. Mm. So it's a huge increase. They now make up about 20% of the total prison population, with about another 5% of those being in their 60s or older. We even have a few people that are in their 70s. I mean, these are older adults who have lived pretty tough lives, and now we're having to pay for their health care.
And a lot of it is chronic illness, which is very expensive, right? So we're looking at diabetes, hypertension.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing that you'll find that the prison health care worker said is that, look, these are many of the issues that our parents are facing, you know, like the two that you mentioned right off the top are huge, but they come with enormous costs just simply because you have to care for it day in and day out. You know, pharmaceuticals, of course, those aren't getting cheaper. And, you know, these are inmates that have already been in prison maybe for 20 years and might stay another 10, 15, 20 years more. And yeah, we have to care for them.
So let's talk about some of the reasons we're seeing so many people age in prison.
Mm-hmm. Well, so one of the big reasons was back in the 80s and 90s, or really I should say 70s and 80s, there were some really big sentencing reforms. You might remember that there was some legislation passed at the federal level, which then, you know, obviously was also adopted at some of the state levels that had mandated minimum sentencing. And there were some really strict sentencing guidelines that were applied. Prior to that, judges had a good amount of leeway with if they wanted to, you know, give you parole or whatnot. But at that point, there was sort of a national fear, if you will, a lot of it relating to drugs, but not only, that really increased not only the number of people who were sent to jail in the first place, or prison, I should say, but then in addition to that, the amount of time that they would spend in prison. And so that really shot through the roof. There's a lot of research out there to show that the vast increase in the prison population throughout the 90s was not related to an increase in crime, but instead just simply a shift in how we sentenced the people that committed those crimes. So the prison population increased, they're in there longer, and now we're paying for their health care.
And so what are some of the biggest costs?
Well, honestly, it's just that day-to-day care. I mean, it's not that anybody is you know, getting cosmetic surgery or anything
right.
like that. It really is just the care for the chronic illnesses. And you know, so that mirrors what we're seeing outside as well, right? But it really just is that chronic care. And they're doing everything they can. You know, the lady in charge of the prison healthcare system said this is care out of necessity, not out of nicety. And I thought that was an interesting quote that she gave because, you know, this is a population that is protected. They are required to have healthcare given to them. It's sort of interesting. They're basically the only population in the United States that have this constitutional right to healthcare. But, you know, if you have diabetes or if you have arthritis, I mean, it comes with day in and day out constant care. And maybe, you know, any one day's worth of care isn't huge, but when that adds up week, month, year after year, it adds up to a pretty hefty price.
Interestingly enough, North Carolina's state prison system may have found a way, whether deliberately or not, to bring those costs down by having its own hospital within the prison, right?
That's right. There's actually a really impressive facility. Your listeners might be aware of the Central Prison Complex that's right across from Dorothea Dix. And I got a chance to tour it. And it is an impressive facility. For all intents and purposes, you walk through there and you think that you're in basically any normal hospital, Wake Med, Rex, whatever. The only difference being the patient rooms are in fact cells, so there's pretty big heavy metal doors instead of just a curtain. But yeah, the care that's provided inside this hospital ends up being a good bit cheaper than the care that these inmates had been receiving in the community hospitals. For years, what had happened is if an inmate required hospital care, he or she would be transferred to, you know, Wake Med or Rex or wherever, and then the hospital would take care of that inmate and then send them back, of course, with a pretty hefty bill as well. Well, now they can be treated inside the hospital, inside the prison complex, which just right off the bat cuts down on costs of, you know, transferring a patient out to the hospital and all the security that's involved as well. But you're also not having to pay whatever Wake Med or Rex decide to charge you. You're just, you know, paying what it actually costs. And it's a good bit down. One example, an MRI in, say, Wake Med or Rex was costing the state $5,000 per trip. Done inside the hospital walls, it's like $300-$400. So, I mean, there are some significant savings there, and that's sort of across the board.
So a state-controlled healthcare system is cheaper than a private system, at least in this case.
At least in this case. Well, mm-hmm. I'm only making a broader
well,
political statement right
there
now.
There it is. So let's talk about well, first of all, let's stay with this hospital complex. How is it staffed? And you know, what do staff say? Because you did a little breakout and talked to some staff who work there, and they seem to like working at the prison.
They really do. Yeah, they found it quite rewarding. If you talk to any of the nurses, the mid levels, the doctors, what have you, they would be the first to tell you that they don't really see the patients as inmates. They see them just simply as patients. So when people come into they have a, it's called an urgent care, but for all intents and purposes, it's an emergency room. When inmates come to this emergency room, even if it's because they were in some sort of a prison brawl, you know, the doctors that are treating them, they see them just like any other patient that would come through the emergency room of a community hospital. Same situation if they're being treated for their chronic illness or you know, for anything that they come in there for. They really are treated just as they would any other patient. That was something that really struck me, is the attitude towards care was exactly the same inside the prison hospital as you would see in any other hospital that you or I go to.
We are talking about rising costs in the state's healthcare cost in the state's prison system today on The State of Things. Jason DeBruin is with us from the Triangle Business Journal. You also said that staff in many cases feel safer there than they do in some hospital settings.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. One of the people I interviewed was sort of an emergency room manager up in New York City, and he worked out in the streets a lot. And his point was, look, if I'm on the streets of New York or really anywhere, and I'm going into a possibly hostile situation where there might have been a fight, I don't know what's around the corner, and I could be surprised by anything. Well, when I'm here inside the prison complex, there are guards everywhere. You know, we have all these safety procedures in place. So honestly, that's one of the safest places, actually, that you could provide healthcare, even though it seems a little bit counterintuitive, but it actually makes sense when you think about it. You know, that said, they do sometimes have trouble hiring the best candidates, because they were very candid about it. You know, if you're a nurse and you're working every day in a prison system, your spouse might not like that you're sort of in this hostile environment day in and day out. And that's what they said, is that sometimes family members, particularly spouses or maybe parents, don't like it if their son or daughter or their husband or wife is working in the prison system, even if sort of if you stop and think about it, is a safe place.
It would be safer. Well, let's talk about the general problem again, these rising costs. Is there some thought, how seriously is it being taken, to releasing some of these ailing and aging inmates?
It's certainly something that has been brought up. I don't want to suggest that there's a bill being introduced or that this is anywhere close to being law, but it is certainly something that is at least being discussed at one of the subcommittees at the legislative level. It's something that they bring up. They look at these costs, and, you know, we talked about the savings that the hospital has brought, and yes, that's true, but costs are going to continue to go up, even if we have this little blip here for cost savings in the near term. The question was brought up, should we as a state just maybe release everybody that's in their 70s or 60s or even 50s. I mean, many of these older patients are not a threat to recommit any of these crimes, or certainly not any of the violent crimes. But that said, the representatives of the state legislators that I spoke with, you know, they didn't necessarily think that it would be great policy to all of a sudden let prisoners go just because they're old.
Well, right? And they still might tricky. Be on. I mean, I'm guessing they're not going to have jobs or salaries at any level that would keep them off Medicaid.
So, exactly. Yeah. And that's sort of the second point to all of this, is that very likely this is a population that would fall into the state's care anyways, especially if this is a prisoner who has been in prison for, say, 15 or 20 years. You know, that would be very difficult for this kind of a person to all of a sudden enter in the workforce and get private insurance, right? So this would be somebody that would likely fall at least on Medicare, probably Medicaid, potentially both. So no matter what, the state will be caring for their care.
Jason DeBruin, great report. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much for having me.
Jason DeBruin is a reporter with the Triangle Business Journal. Just ahead, another installment of Culture 360. We talk about that viral video of the violent arrest of a black female student by a white officer and much, much more on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.